Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. We are extremely fortunate to have His Grace Jagasakshi Prabhuji here with us today. And Prabhuji will be enlightening us by walking us through Srimad Bhagavatam 4.28.4. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Danvat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity, your valuable time and association this morning. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to you now. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much. Thank you for all the wonderful devotees online. So, shall we start, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamutiraye. He Krishna karuna sindhu dinabandhu jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Deve Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna to all the assembled devotees gathered online. So today we are going to discuss from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Shloka number 4 and 5. So these are the verses we are going to discuss today. And show the shlokas or we just go ahead? How is it? Are we displaying the shloka? Okay. So.
We can do that, Prabhuji, if you want. Should we display the shloka?
Yeah, better.
Yeah, Vinita Mataji, is it possible?
Hare Krishna. Okay. So, this fourth canto and 28th chapter, shloka number 4, it is displayed here. It is when Kala Kanya, daughter of time, attacked the body, the dangerous soldiers of the king of the Yavanas entered the city through different gates. They then began to give severe trouble to all the citizens. Okay. So it's a short purport. Okay. Thank you so much. So in this chapter, we can very beautifully understand the marketing portion of Srimad Bhagavatam. How Krishna very beautifully spoke in Bhagavad Gita. How Shukadev Maharaj is very beautifully explaining in Srimad Bhagavatam. These scriptures are amazing, amazing. Because every chapter when you study in Bhagavatam, in the end of the chapter, it is called Phala Shruti Shloka. There will be one shloka at the end of the chapter saying, if you faithfully read this chapter, You will have children, you will have wealth, you will have good health, you know, and your name will be glorified in three worlds. All these things will be mentioned in the last shloka of many chapters. You will get good health, good wealth, and children and property, all these things. But in the middle of the chapter, it will be written, it will be said, this is all illusion, maya. Please don't get attracted to it. So strange. In every chapter, at the end, it says something else. And in the middle, it says something else. So this Phalashruti shloka, that fruitive activity shloka in the end of the chapter, is just to attract people towards the shloka, towards Bhagavatam. And when they come to Bhagavatam, then they start reading, gradually they will understand. Krishna also practicing the same technique in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is doing like that. Arjuna, this is not my opinion, okay? This is opinion of the great sages. Vyasa said like this. Janaka practiced like this. Asita, Devala, Narada, all those great personality did like that. And that is what realized people say. This is my opinion. I am just suggesting to you. You can do whatever you like. This is how Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita. He is not pushing down anything on Arjuna. Very polished, very sweet. But Arjuna was very intelligent. He said, Karishye vachanam tava Arjuna Krishna. I will simply do whatever you say. It's a beautiful relationship. In the same way, Narada Muni approached this king Prachina Barhisat. Prachina Barhisat is a very intelligent person, scholarly man, knowledgeable man, you know. Prabhupada speaks about four people in this world. Lazy fool, busy fool, lazy intelligent, and busy intelligent. You know? So, in that, it's a very nice analogy and it's very nice statistics which Prabhupada is giving. Prabhupada says, busy fool is the lowest of all the four. Better than busy fool is lazy fool, you know, because busy fool will harm everybody, will spoil everything. Lazy fool is not harming because he's lazy, he will keep quiet. Better than lazy fool is busy intelligent. And the topmost is lazy intelligent. And people were shocked. Why, Srila Prabhupada, why are you saying lazy intelligent people are the best? Naturally, busy people should be the best. They work hard. They do things. Why are you saying lazy, intelligent people to be the best? Then Prabhupada said, intelligence should be practiced very carefully. Like a tiger. The tiger will pull himself back a step or two. That doesn't mean he got scared. If he is pulling himself back a step or two, that means he is going to sprang up. In the same way, if we are intelligent, very carefully we should apply intelligence. And Prachina Barhishat Maharaja, you know, and many of we devotees, we are intelligent. But we are not lazy intelligent. We are busy intelligent. We fall in the second category. So Prachina Barhisat is a very busy intelligent man. So Narada cannot simply just go and, you know, start calling him, oh rascal, you are a sinner. You have forgotten your relationship with God. You are in Maya. Narada Muni cannot say all those things to the king, and as well as he's intelligent also. And he's a scholar. He knows many things. So Narada Muni told Prachina Barhisa, let me tell you a story. And Prachina Barhisa said, okay, very good. Tell me a story. Why not? I'll hear. Then Narada Muni develops a story. What a smart preaching. Many times our preaching is nothing but exhibition of our ego. That is all. Most of the times when we preach, and if you examine our own selves very carefully, we are simply exhibiting our ego. And sometimes we devotees are so smart, we exhibit ego in a humble way. I know this, I know that, I do, I know, so many things. So Narada Muni was wondering how to penetrate this hard shell, how to get into this man, because he's not a normal man. So Narada Muni took a very humble step, He acted in front of Prachina Barhisat Maharaja in a very humble, meek way. Only in this consciousness we can preach. When every temple was installed in ISKCON, Prabhupada will stand in front of the deities with folded palms. And many times devotees have seen tears in Prabhupada's eyes. And Prabhupada will pray, Krishna, all my devotees, boys and girls, they are not experienced, not very well experienced. They are immature. Please forgive them if they commit any mistakes in the seva. And, you know, please accept those seva. Prabhupada with tears used to pray to each and every single deity after installation. Preaching works with humility. Preaching will never work with ego, and that is just an exhibition. So here, Narada Muni took a very humble step and approached Prachina Barhisat and said, I will tell you a story. A city of 9 gates. It is nothing but our body. Our body has got 9 gates. 9 Navadvara Purehidehi. This Deha, this body is a city, Puri. Navadvara Purehidehi. A city with 9 gates. Okay. And very beautifully, Narada is taking, you know, through the story. At one point, Narada Muni is telling, in this is like a bird inside a cage. And the cage has got 9 doors. And all the doors are open. We have a cage, and there is a bird in the cage. And the cage has got 9 doors. And all the 9 doors are open. So how do we expect that the bird should remain inside the cage? If all the 9 doors are open, the bird will immediately flew off from the cage. It will fly off from the cage. It will not stay inside the cage. So it is foolishness to expect that the bird should remain inside the cage when the doors are open. In the same way, this Atma stays inside this body. And the body has got 9 gates. How do we expect that we should not die? We should overcome death and we should live long. It is foolishness because all the 9 gates are open. The Atma can fly at any time. And somewhere in Upanishad, it is said, Atma will leave through the gate which we have used maximum in material life for material pleasures, material sense gratification. whichever gate of this body we have used the most in material satisfaction, material gratification, the bird will fly through the gate. It is very interesting. I don't know if any of you have been from a village in India, born and brought up, you know, grew in a village circumstances. I don't know. Maybe some of you. In villages, you can see even today, when somebody is going to die, all the relatives and family members will be gathering around. And this man, the particular person, is breathing his last. And there somebody will, you know, massage his chest. Someone may give water to drink. So many things will happen around. And the man, he will grab the closest relative, whoever is standing close to him. Sometimes they grab their hand so tightly. And the dogs in that area, they won't bark. They start howling. Normally dogs bark, but at a particular moment, the dogs don't bark. They start howling. And the cow, bull, calf, goat, all these domestic animals, they will start screaming, mooing, and sometimes they break the ropes and they run from that place. And the birds from the tree, they will all leave the place. It happens. And if you're from a village, you know. And the elder people will know it's time for death. Because the cow will break the rope and go. What happens actually? These animals can see Yamadutas coming. I am giving this example. I'm talking about materialistic person. So Yamadutas come. And the animals can see Yamadutas. And they get so scared and they leave the place, run from that place. And the dying man also can see Yamaduta. And they will come and they will throw the rope of attachment. They throw that rope and snatch the soul from the heart and they will pull it out. The more we are materially attached in this world, more painful it will be. Death will be. Many times in many places in Vedic scriptures it is mentioned. If you multiply the sting of a scorpion into 1,000 times, that is the pain of death. If you multiply a mother's pain, labor pain into 1,000 times, that's the pain of death. So the more people are attached in this world, like a banyan tree, some banyan trees have got roots running for kilometers. We don't believe. The root of the banyan tree, like in Calcutta, the famous banyan tree, it moves actually. The banyan tree moves. In the last 15 years, the banyan tree had moved some 30 meters. Because the newer and newer roots come, the old one die, and the tree keeps moving. And that tree is very huge, the big banyan tree in Calcutta, in the park town or park gate in the middle of the city. And the roots of the tree run for 30, 40 meters, sometimes even 100 meters. Our attachment in this world are like the banyan roots, attachment for our name, fame, position. People should respect me. I should be the center of every discussion. I should be focused. I should be given priority and importance. Everyone should listen to me. My money, my wealth. The more the attachments are, when Yamadutas come and snatch the soul, more painful it will be. Then, on the dead body, we can see a small stain of blood. Sometimes the stain of blood is at the tip of your eyes or, you know, near the nose or near your lips or near ear or sometimes below bottom. That means the soul had passed through that gate, one of those gates. There will be a tiny drop of blood. Navadware Pure Dehi, a city of 9 gates. The soul will leave through one of these gates. And that means he will come and take birth again. But for a yogi, for a realized, self-realized person, a self-controlled person, the soul will leave through his Brahma Rantra. We all have a tiny spot on the top of your head where the hair doesn't grow. It is kind of a circle and that's very soft. That's called Brahma Rantra. It's like a cap of the bottle and the cap opens and the soul leaves. And for him, there is no rebirth. So, the gate which we use most in this material world is the weakest gate and soul will leave through that gate. And Upanishad predicts many people in Kali Yuga will die, the soul will leave through their mouth. It will leave through the mouth. And out of the 5 senses, 5 organs, sense organ, the first organ and the most powerful organ is ear. The most powerful organ in our body is ear. You watch a movie and there is no sound. You watch a movie or a drama or a play in the screen and there is no sound. And you see one person killing another person. You see that action but no sound. There will be little effect on you. But you don't see the scene. But you hear a scream of a lady. Oh, don't kill me, don't kill me, don't kill me. Ah! That sound will have more impact on you. Ear is the first organ which works in our body. Most powerful one. And the most used one materially is our mouth. That is why use these 2 organs in Krishna's seva as much as possible. And how is that? Chanting Krishna's name and listening to the holy name. The more we keep using these 2 organs, we have a control on the soul. We can make the soul to stay inside the body and have a successful life or a perfected life. Otherwise, we will use these 2 things automatically in worldly things. You know, it will simply drag us. Then finally, we have to leave the soul. The soul will leave the body. Then again, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. So it's very important to attentively chant Krishna's name and to listen Krishna's name. And if we don't do that, automatically the sense will go into material, you know, topics. And in the shloka, it's explained about time. You know, in the story explained by Prachina Barhisat Maharaja, it's explaining about time. This is very important factor because Bhagavatam says, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Lava matra sadhu sanga sarva siddhi hoy. Lava, kshana, nimisha. Nimisha means second. Nimi means eyelid. Nimi means eyelid. Nimisha means the time taken by the eyelid to close and open is nimisha. Less than a second. Then you further divide that nimisha, it's called kshana. And you further divide the kshana, it is lava. And it is called Katvanga moment. Beautiful story of Katvanga Maharaja in Bhagavata. You know, Katvanga went for a war. He waged a war against demon helping devas. And he helped Deva so much and the battle is over and Deva's won. And Indra asks Katvanga, what boon you want? What blessings you want? What gift you want? You have helped me so much. What blessings you want? Katvanga said, I just wanted to know how many more years I will live. When I will die, what is my lifespan? And the devas very hesitatingly, they said, Katvanga, you have only kshanas, some moment. You have only few moments left out. Immediately, Katvanga did not bother about anything. There is a whole farewell, ceremony going on to glorify Katvanga because he helped devas, his family, his wife, his children, kingdom, property. He forgot about everything. Immediately, he sat down at that particular spot and simply thinking of Narayana, Krishna. And he attained liberation within moments because he lived in that moment. That is the difference, because we always have the feeling somewhere in future my japa will be okay. Somewhere in future my reading will be okay. In future I'm going to be a very good devotee. There is no guarantee about future. It is called Katvanga moment. The moment which you experience now is the reality. This time, this particular time is reality. If I can utilize this time in remembering Krishna, we are getting connected to Krishna. And a day is beautifully divided. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has divided a day. Astrologically, it's divided as called Muhurta. Or it is called Yama, different calculations. The time before sunrise is called Brahma Muhurta, 2 1/4 of an hour. Little more than 2 hours, it's called Brahma Muhurta. Sunrise is at 5, then 3 to 5 is Brahma Muhurta. When sunrise is at 6, 4 to 6 is Brahma Muhurta. When sunrise is at 6:30, then, I don't know how the time in your place. So 2 1/4 is called Brahma Muhurta, the time meant for realizing Brahman, God. And God is just a call away at that time, in that moment. Vasudeva Satvam, the whole cosmos, mind, intelligence, ego, and 24 elements, everything is surcharged with the spirituality at Brahma Muhurta. And when we do any spiritual practice, we get 100% benefit. Then 2 1/4 hours after sunrise is called a Saraswati Yama, the time controlled by Saraswati Mata, Saraswati Devi. It's a good time for studying scriptures, reading music, everything. Then after that, automatically it becomes Kshatriya Yama, the time managed by Indra and all these people. That is why by 8 o'clock in the morning, automatically the physics starts moving. You don't get the same focus what you get at 4 o'clock in the morning. Because it's controlled by Indra, passionate people, Kshatriya. Then you feel like running around, turning around, taking, pulling up things. In the same way, sunset time, Sandhya, evening, is also Saraswati Yama. Very good for all the scriptures, mantras and all. Night 11 to 1 is Bhutayama and 1 to 3 is Pretayama. That time is completely given for Shiva and his Bhutaganas to roam around and do whatever they want. And you see now the modern world is completely going in that direction. Nightlife, nightclub, and people work in the night. Children study in the night. They have all kinds of party in the night. And you go around, have party, and you come back home to unseen people also will come back. All Shiva's Bhutaganas also will come into the house. Already we have enough problem in our house, and they too will come inside. So the time is divided like that. And the time, if we are not intelligent, it is a destroyer. Krishna tells in Gita, time, I am the destroyer. Kalakshevo na kartavyam. The duty of time is to destroy. That is all. Time means destroyer. And the only duty of the time is to destroy. It destroys everything. I am time, the destroyer, Krishna says. And it is explained in this verse also. Here it is said, with the help of time, the city is attacked. Means the body is attacked as time passes. So an intelligent person utilizes time properly and lives in this moment. Let me live in this moment and let me think about Krishna. Let me preach about Krishna. Let me connect to myself to Krishna. And that is your Katvanga moment. That's how time is managed. So every day, without fail, with very good attention, we wake up in the morning before sunrise and simply chant Krishna's name. Then there are four kinds of people who travel with time. A man who always travels behind time is called a lazy man. You tell him anything, Prabhuji, you chant, from next week I will do it properly, Prabhu. I am going to India, you know, I will go and come back and you see, there will be a change in me. I will do perfectly. The man who postpones things to future, you know, is always a lazy man because he travels behind the time. And the man who travels opposite to time, he's a sinner. He does what the scriptures does not recommend to do. Scripture says, don't eat meat, he will eat meat. Don't smoke, he will smoke. Don't drink, he will drink. Don't do this, he will do that. He travels against time. He's a sinner. And some people travel with time. They're selfish. You know, they see there is some result coming, they'll join there. They will see some result coming here, they will join there. But a person who travels ahead of the time is an acharya. That is what happened in Kalisantarna Upanishad. 5,000 years back, Narada and his great father Brahmaji sitting and talking. And Brahmaji is telling Narada, you know, Kali Yuga is going to be like this. People, a mother will kill her own baby. Temples will be money-making places, money-minting places. Most of the sadhus will be cheaters. Husband and wife will live together on the basis of money, nothing else. And Narada started, you know, feeling very bad. Tears were coming out of Narada because he's such a sincere, you know, compassionate person. He wanted every single one of us to go back to Godhead and live happily connected to Krishna. So Narada is crying and asking, my dear father, what will happen? How people will chant? They will forget Narayana. How they will be delivered? Please tell me. And they're discussing about Kali Yuga 5,000 years back. There was no use for them to chant and discuss about at that time. They had enough time. Still they discussed. And Brahmaji said, Hare Nama Ivahi Kevalam. Only holy name can deliver them. Because in Kali Yuga, people can never control their tongue. So better they should chant and save themselves. Only holy name can save Narada. These two great personalities, Mahatma, traveled ahead of time. Acharyas. So intelligent man, he knows death is coming. And death will snatch everything from me. Japati Ramaya Nirjananga Hare. Kunti Maharani says, when you are there helplessly, hopelessly, Maya will come and snatch everything from you. And an intelligent man sees that. Death will snatch everything that I have attained in my life. Everything. So, I become intelligent. And I start chanting now. So, I travel ahead of time. Intelligent. People who travel with time, they are okay. Selfish, but they're okay. People who travel against time, sinners. People who travel behind the time, always lazy. So time is an amazing thing. Time will destroy everything and everyone unless and until we utilize the time at that moment. Now I have time, let me connect myself to Krishna. That means you have used your time, you have been intelligent with time. The moment you postpone it, time will destroy everything. And here, Sukha Maharshi is telling to Parikshit, actually Vidura and Maitreya, they are having this conversation. Maitreya is telling Vidura that time will destroy everything, including your kingdom. That means your body. This body will become completely non-cooperative. As we grow old, whatever you may be, how much ever healthy and handsome, and when you go to sleep, you will be perfectly okay. And when we wake up in the morning, we will realize some part of my limb is not cooperating with me, giving pain. Satasandhi jarjaram. There are 100 joints in our body. Satasandhi. In Mukundamala Stotra, Kulashekara Raja is singing. And Prabhupada, Satswarup Das Goswami Maharaj has given purport. Prabhupada gave purport only to the 5 verses of Mukundamala Stotra. Satasandhi jarjaram mudha durmate kim rasayinam pipa. You know, your 100, some of the joints from your 100 joints will shiver at a point of time. Mudha fool. Durmate kim rasayanam piba. Why are you trying to drink medicine? No use. Krishna rasayanam piba. Drink the nectar of the holy name. Krishna's holy. So time. This is a very important lesson in this shloka. Time will destroy everything. So we have to be smart enough to utilize the time. Then, in the shloka, it is in the 5th shloka, the next one, 4th is explained about time, and 5th it is said, how jivatmas are helplessly trapped in this world. If we don't utilize time, if we don't realize this reality, we will be helplessly trapped. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati talks about lovebirds. Ramayana talks about Krauchapakshi. You know, the first shloka of Ramayana, it says, Manishadha pratishtantva magama shashti samaga yat krauncha mitunatekam mavadi kama mohitam. This is the first shloka of Ramayana. So one day, when Valmiki Muni was sitting and staring at a tree, there were 2 birds called Krauncha Pakshi. The name of the bird is Krauncha. And it is translated in English as lovebirds, which is not right. The speciality of this Krauncha Pakshi, Krauncha bird, is if one bird dies, within 3 hours, the next one also will die. Because that bird cannot suffer the separation. He can't or she can't take up that separation. And within few hours, the other partner will also fall down dead. So when Valmiki was staring at these birds, a hunter came and ruthlessly shot a bird. And these 2 birds were making love. And the hunter shot a bird. And the second bird, you know, wailing in pain, and its heart broke and it fell down dead. And Valmiki could not digest what he had seen. Valmiki cursed the sage. But Narad Muni told, this is the attachment in this material world. This is the attachment. Hridaya Granthi, the bondage of heart. It is not easy to come over. The deep attachment to our family members. The deep attachment to children and grandchildren. The deep attachment to that old house which we have built. The first car which we have bought. The first house we, you know, not easy. Hridaya granthi, not of the heart. So, in shloka number 5, it says how human beings are, how jivatmas are trapped in this world. They're trapped. And they helplessly scream. And many times they don't realize they are trapped. You know, we don't realize that we are trapped. So it is like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told that one man circus one man show example. There's a small tent, small room kind of thing, and people are all standing in a queue, and there is one man selling the ticket. Oh, this is the last show. Today is the last day. Come on, hurry up, limited seats. Come on, enjoy the show. This is the best one in this world. Don't miss it. And he's marketing it. And people are all, okay, I want to see. And they're all in the queue. And the funny part of it is like only one person can see the show at a time. And once he comes out, then the next man can go in. And everybody is eagerly waiting. And they want to enjoy the show. They really want to enjoy the show. They're waiting so much. And they see people who are coming out of the show with a big smile, broad smile. They say, wow, very nice. Don't miss it. Okay, come on, take it up. And what exactly happens is the moment the guy enters inside the tent, there are two restless, heavily body-built men. Bodybuilders, heavy men. They just catch the neck of the guy who comes in and they box on his face till the stars come around his head. They beat him, box him, punch him nicely, take all the money from his pocket, and they tell him, don't say anything. Come on, get out. And that man comes, completely turns black and blue, and he doesn't know what's happening. And he comes out and people, how is the show? Yeah, very nice. You also go. Because I have suffered. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, black and white. There is no human being in this world who really loves his job. Oh, I love my office, I love my cabin, and I love the traffic driving to my office. And if I don't go to my office one day, I will feel suffocated. Nothing like that. But then, when they were about to give a speech, they will hold the mic and say, work is worship. We are committed to this company. We are committed to our nation. Actually, nothing like that. So, it's a wonderful trap and very difficult to come out unless and until we do intense sadhana. And the shlokas are very heavy as you go further. Unfortunately, we got this heavy shloka. That is why the class also became heavy. Sorry for disappointing all the devotees. And thank you so much for the opportunity. And please feel free if you have any questions. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. It was such a actually very interesting and informative class. Thank you so much. Definitely makes us understand the importance of time and how we should utilize it properly. Thank you so much, Prabhu. I just had one question, and this was about the year. So as you were talking about the different senses, you specifically mentioned that actually it's the mouth that we use the most for materialistic enjoyment. So most people, they live through the mouth. You also mentioned about the ear, which is the most powerful sense. So can you comment on two things? One is, which is the last sense that really leaves, meaning that which is the most powerful sense at the time of death? Is it the ear? And why people, we don't hear so much about people living through the ear, though the ear is supposed to be the most alert and the most, in one sense, highly used. Can you please comment?
Actually, thank you, Mataji. Actually, ear is a very powerful sense organ. And it seems major portion of the knowledge, major portion of the information in this life we acquire is all through ear. And even our scripture says, if you regularly hear, Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya, Shravana. In our Sampradaya also, Shravana is given very big importance. So by hearing constantly, the soul can get detached. But unfortunately, even though ear is the most important and powerful organ, we all use mouth more than the ear. In two ways, in grabbing food and speaking unrelated things, If you just examine a day, in a 24 hours a day, if you do a self-checklist, you will find out that we are using our mouth for so many unnecessary talks and, you know. So the mouth is used so much in this material world, even though ear is more powerful. We don't use ear so much. Even when a conversation is happening, many times you will notice that the person doesn't want to, they don't want to listen. They simply want to talk. And disturbed people, they will be talking even more. You know, they keep talking nonsense. They talk unrelated things. And they come for interview. They come for, you know, counseling. They come for some solutions. Still, they won't listen. They will be talking. So unfortunately, in this material world, mouth is used more, the most in material dealings, material sense gratification. But ear is powerful. That is why yogis go on Maunavrata. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did Maunavrata for 4 years and he was almost chanting 192 rounds per day. You know, something like that. 4 years Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur remained in Maunavrata. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur, after taking Babaji initiation, he went on a Maunavrata for last few years, then he left his body. Even when Prabhupada was there, you know, Prabhupada will listen a lot. And, you know, most of the Prabhupada's answer is like, that is his answer. And that one humming sound can make those disciples run, you know, up and down. Prabhupada used to talk very less. And when class is given, when he's speaking about Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, then Prabhupada will go on and on. But other times, Prabhupada speaks very less. And, you know, there are many sannyasis, many maharajas. I have seen personally His Holiness Bhanu Swami Maharaj. Doesn't speak at all. It's very difficult to make him speak continuously for 5 minutes, you know. But Bhagavatam class, he will come exactly, finish, you know, explain and he will leave. They have completely mastered their senses. That is why here it is said, they are more powerful than the kings. Kings rule the world, but they can't control their senses. That is why the acharyas and sannyasis are called Maharaja. They are Maharaja not because they rule the planet. They are Maharaja because they rule the senses. That is why in Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, they were called Alvar. Alvar means ruler. They are not ruling any kingdom. They are just mastering their senses. So ear is the most powerful one. So we have to hear a lot. Holy name, Krishna Katha and all these things and use the mouth less. But unfortunately, materialistic people, they use mouth a lot. And the soul leaves through that body. Is that clear, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji, very nice. Just one follow-up question. I know it's a very, maybe an obvious thing, but just wanted to get it clarified. So when we talk about the leaving from the Brahmarandra, is it only for the Ashtanga yogis in principle, or is it like, you know, anyone who has raised his consciousness to a great extent, even through the process of bhakti?
Yes, even through the process of bhakti, if a person has really, you know, practiced a good sadhana, you know, and who eats less, like all the principles he practices from Bhagavad Gita, Yukta Ahara, balanced eating, Yukta Swapna, balanced sleep, you know, balanced talk and serving Krishna. If anybody had done their sadhana siddhas, they leave this body and attain liberation through Brahmarandra. But somebody who has not practiced all these things, but in the final couple of years, he get into Krishna consciousness and very sincerely chanted and, you know, practiced Krishna consciousness nicely and somehow he pleased Vaishnavas and Krishna. He will leave. He may not leave through Brahmarandra, but definitely liberation is granted for him because he learned the art of pleasing Guru and Krishna. He may not have controlled his senses and this and that. That is Kripa Siddhi. You know, that is special mercy of Krishna. That is Parshala, this thing of Krishna. So in either way, it is possible. But generally, if somebody has practiced, even a devotee has practiced a sincere devotion, all the rules and, you know, controlling his tongue and this thing, and definitely he will live through Brahmarandra.
Very nice, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much for a very wonderful class, Prabhuji. I'm hearing you for the first time. My name is Sundari Gopi. Prabhuji, I had a question from text 5. In the purport, it says, the proprietor of the body, the living soul. So the living soul means the spirit soul, right?
Yes.
Okay. And it says it becomes very sad. So, can the soul become sad because it is Satchidananda, or because of the situation, the soul feels something?
Yeah. The original position of soul, when we speak about soul, it is we. I am the soul. You are soul. So it is we. We, in our original position, we are always in bliss. But the moment we entered into the material world, Prabhupada says it is like the cloud covering. And when the cloud covers, automatically the soul thinks, I am man, I am woman, this is my body. Then he started suffering pain and pleasure. For example, we are attending a program. Then we go out of the program. Then you see your car windshield is broken. You know, it's a costly car. You have bought it recently and somebody has broken the mirror, the windshield of the car. You will feel very bad, right? And I am walking with you and we all went out of the program, and definitely I am not going to feel bad. Why? Because it is not my car. It is your car. The thing, it is my car, mine. That gives the pain, even though the soul has got nothing to do with the car. The soul has got nothing to do with the car, like a dream. In the dream, you are chased by a tiger. And inside the dream, you believe you are running. And you really run for your life. And suddenly you woke up, you know, you wake up from the dream and you search for water, drink, and you see you will be sweating. Then you are, oh, that was just a horrible dream. Then you go back to sleep. See, it's not reality, but still inside the drama, you feel it's real. So in the same way, even though the soul is completely Satchidananda, unfortunately, it has come and fell inside this body. And the soul believes that I am this body. Everything connected to this body is mine. My family, my children, my property, my dress, my food. And because it falls into the illusion, then the soul suffers the pleasure and the pain. The moment it realizes that I am not the body, then it won't feel pleasure and pain. Is that clear?
Yes, Prabhuji. I have to process it a little because...
Okay.
Because the understanding that I had was a little... So this is all on the false ego platform, you know, because that identification that we do.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes.
I was thinking it is all in the mind that is going on, and the soul is intact. It is just the mind doing it through the false identity.
Yeah, true. It is through the false identity. It is simply like wearing a king's dress and thinks I am king today. Wearing a queen's dress and thinking I am queen today. But the soul has got no connection. Okay. And mind, intelligence, ego, all of them put together, they play this drama and make the soul weak. That's where Prabhupada is explaining in Bhagavad Gita, the example of a chariot. The passenger in the chariot is the owner of the chariot. He should have the command. Tell the driver, pull the horses, turn it right. But what happened? The passenger is weak now. And the horses are more powerful. And the driver is very weak. So the horses are going in different direction. That is what is happening. Even though the soul is very powerful, the soul has fell inside this body, and mind, intelligence, ego, senses, they have taken over. They became the boss, and mind, the soul became weak. Is that clear?
Yes, Prabhuji, got it. It's just a perspective. It's a wrong perspective that the soul is getting because of a misidentification.
Correct. Very right.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanyavad, Pranam. Thank you for the beautiful class, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, my question is regarding preaching. When we hear such grave and heavy classes, and then we realize how urgent it is. But when we are preaching to people who are not yet devotee, how to keep it so easy and it's okay eating, chanting, and marry, things like that. So how, it's very difficult because listening to such classes, it makes me at least very grave. And when I go and talk to people or my own relatives, I become very heavy on them, Prabhuji. And it's not that I want to, but hearing such class makes me very, very scared. And I, of course, I feel why are they not seeing it? And then I speak heavy words. So how do I not do aparad and yet continue preaching to whatever extent I can, Prabhu?
So it is like devotees should understand the gravity of it. That doesn't mean we go to the public and present it like that. They may not be able to digest. Once Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we are all namahatta, you know, we are market traders in the market. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur had titled us. You know, in India, you're from which part of India?
Bengal, Prabhu.
Bengal. Okay, in the market, have you seen people standing and screaming, "Aye behen, sadi yahan se kharidiye, come on, buy here, cheap, behen," like that? Yeah. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, we are those kind of people. We are preachers in the market. Nam hata mane market. So we are preachers in the market. So in the market, if you are smart, you can even sell chilies. But if you are not smart, even honey you cannot sell. That's what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said. So we should be smart to even sell chili. So we know the seriousness of Krishna Bhakti. And we also know this is Chintamani. This is the greatest jewel. But buyers don't know the value. They will take time. So we should present it so sweetly, so nicely. Like Vallabhacharya is singing, Adharam Madhuram, Nayanam Madhuram, Hasitam Madhuram, Gamanam Madhuram, Hrudayam Madhuram, Maturatipater, Akilam Madhuram. Everything about Krishna is very sweet. So which buyer will not buy? Everything is sweet about Lord, so who will not buy? The problem is we are not able to present it nicely, or we didn't learn the art of presenting it nicely. So what we should do is understand the seriousness and present it so sweetly, so nicely. When Haridas Thakur was beaten in 21 marketplaces, even meat eaters were crying. They saw Haridas Thakur getting beaten up and they were thinking, we are sinners and nobody is beating us. This Mahatma who chants God's name 24 hours, why are they beating? And they were praying, God, give us the beatings and spare him. Even meat eaters were crying when they saw Haridas Thakur was getting beaten up. Because so perfect and polite and sweet and pure was that personality. So now you have the valuable gem. So when you present it to the relatives, friends, family members, present it so sweetly. Like in the beginning of the class, we said how Krishna was presenting. So polite, so polished, very sweet. And definitely there will be buyers for this. Don't worry, don't lose hope, and try to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Please bless me so that I can do as you said. Thank you, Dandavat Pranam, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you very much for the time. Thank you very much for the opportunity. And Hare Krishna Mataji for organizing, and all the devotees in the class. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, thank you so much for this wonderful class today. Anybody has any more questions for Prabhuji at this point?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji for coming on the call and giving your valuable time and association to us. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Very inspiring, and you know, we learned so many things today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
If there are no more questions, we would like to wrap up this call. So once again, Prabhuji, thank you so much for this wonderful class. There's so much learning we have done today. We are very grateful to you for your association and really look forward to having you again in future. Rathra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai,
Shri Prabhupada
ki jai,
Shri
Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna, Namaskar,
Krishna.